more tender than he knew, or would have approved of in himself, could he have known. My mother, who never professed sternness, was far more severe than my father. Perhaps my boyish faults annoyed her more, for I remember, now that I have written the above words, how she pleaded for me once in my riper years, when I had really offended against my father's sense of right. But I have nothing to do with that now. It is about Cousin Phyllis that I am going to write, and as yet I am far enough from even saying who Cousin Phyllis was. For some months after I was settled in Eltham, the new employment in which I was engaged, the new independence of my life, occupied all my thoughts. I was at my desk by 8 o'clock, home to dinner at 1, back at the office by 2. The afternoon work was more uncertain than the morning's. It might be the same, or it might be that I had to accompany Mr. Holdsworth, the managing engineer, to some point on the line between Eltham and Hornby. This I always enjoyed, because of the variety, and because of the country we traversed, which was very wild and pretty, and because I was thrown into companionship with Mr. Holdsworth, who held the position of hero in my boyish mind. He was a young man of 25 or so, and was in a station above mine, both by birth and education, and he had travelled on the continent, and wore mustachios and whiskers of a somewhat foreign fashion. I was proud to be seen with him. He was really a fine fellow in a good number of ways, and I might have fallen into much worse hands. Every Saturday I wrote home, telling of my weekly doings. My father had insisted upon this, but there was so little variety in my life that I often found it hard work to fill a letter. On Sundays I went twice to chapel, up a dark, narrow entry, to hear droning hymns and long prayers, and a still longer sermon preached to a small congregation, of which I was, by nearly a score of years, the youngest member. Occasionally Mr. Peters, the minister, would ask me home to tea after the second service. I dreaded this honour, for I usually sat on the edge of my chair all the evening and answered solemn questions, put in a deep bass voice, until household prayer time came at 8 o'clock, when Mrs. Peters came in, smoothing down her apron, and the maid of all work followed, and first a sermon and then a chapter was read, and a long impromptu prayer followed, till some instinct told Mr. Peters that supper time had come, and we rose from our knees with hunger for our predominant feeling. Over supper the minister did unbend a little into one or two ponderous jokes, as if to show me that ministers were men after all. And then at 10 o'clock I went home, and enjoyed my long repressed yawns in the three-cornered room before going to bed. Dinah and Hannah Dawson, so their names were put on the board above the shop door, I always called them Miss Dawson and Miss Hannah, considered these visits of mine to Mr. Peters as the greatest honour a young man could have, and evidently thought that if after such privileges I did not work out my salvation, I was a sort of modern Judas Iscariot. On the contrary, they shook their heads over my intercourse with Mr. Holdsworth. He had been so kind to me in many ways that when I cut into my ham, I hovered over the thought of asking him to tea in my room, more especially as the annual fair was being held in Eltham Marketplace, and the sight of the booths and the merry-go-rounds and the wild beast shows, and such country pomps, was, as I thought at 17, very attractive. But when I ventured to allude to my wish in even distant terms, Miss Hannah caught me up and spoke of the sinfulness of such sights, and something about wallowing in the mire, and then vaulted into France, and spoke evil of the nation, and all who had ever set foot therein, till, seeing that her anger was concentrating itself into a point, and that that point was Mr. Holdsworth, I thought it would be better to finish my breakfast, and make what haste I could out of the sound of her voice. I rather wondered afterwards to hear her and Miss Dawson counting up their weekly profits with glee, and saying that a pastry-cook shop in the corner of the marketplace in Eltham Fair Week was no such bad thing. However, I never ventured to ask Mr. Holdsworth to my lodgings. There is not much to tell about this first year of mine at Eltham, but when I was nearly 19, and beginning to think of whiskers on my own account, I came to know Cousin Phyllis, whose very existence had been unknown to me till then. Mr. Holdsworth and I had been out to Heathbridge for a day, working hard,